now having watched this movie twice, and if you gave me the choice of having to watch it a third time or maybe just taking a shot to the balls, it would depend on the level of impact, right? I mean, I wouldn't take like a punch from like an MMA fighter or something like that, but if it was like just kind of like a glancing blow on one testicle and it kind of hurt a little bit, I think I'd rather experience that than be forced to sit down and watch this movie again. Hey everybody, welcome to the Real DMC Podcast. DMC stands for Dave, Marks, and Colin. And we're here to talk about a movie today. I think we should just talk about Dune instead. I did enjoy our Dune podcast, and apparently we had a lot to talk about with Dune. Colin, you could probably talk about the 1984 version for another 15 or 20 minutes, and that would probably be more interesting than the movie we're here to talk about today.
I really want to do a deep dive into Fade Rautha.
Yeah, let's just talk anything but this movie.
Yeah, just because we don't have anything positive to say doesn't mean we don't have a lot to say about it.
That's true.
Speak for yourself.
We'd love to get some feedback, so feel free to send us a message at feedback@realdmc.com. You can also find us on Twitter at @realdmc. Marcus just did something with our podcast, so now it's more widely available, or I think was it Spotify is maybe now allowing you to post reviews on podcasts, so we'd love to get some reviews up there. Marcus, anything to add?
We switched our hosting a little bit, so let us know if you see any problems. You can find us at realdmc.com, but also at podcast.realdmc.com. Should be able to find them at both spots. Check it all out.
So speaking of feedback, my mom recently was featured on the podcast, as for anybody that listened to our Dune podcast. She listened to the podcast and sent us some feedback, which was just, you guys are crazy. So
I've been hearing that from Vicky for about 40 years now.
So thanks, Mom. Thanks for the feedback. We appreciate it. And that's all the feedback we'll be providing today, because we really do need to get to this particular movie. Yeah. The film we're here to talk about today, directed by Lana Wachowski. Let's discuss the worst sequel in the Matrix quadrilogy, 2021's terribly disappointing Matrix Resurrections.
I believe it's The Matrix Resurrections.
Thomas? You seem particularly triggered right now. Can you tell me what happened?
I've had dreams that weren't just dreams.
Am I crazy? We don't use that word in here.
If you want the truth, Neo, you're going to have to follow me.
The only thing that matters to you is still here. I know it's why you're still fighting and why you will never give up.
You don't know me.
No?
After all these years, to be going back to where it all started. Back to the Matrix.
I will start off by saying I was not terribly impressed with this film.
The first 40 minutes, I was completely disappointed. It gets a little bit better towards the end, but it is just horrible fan service, self-referential mess. It's just terrible. Really, really bad. And they just got really full of themselves with the whole movie and the whole mythology. And they just, I don't even know what they were thinking. It's bad.
I was excited to watch it. I watched it the first day that it came out. And I was intrigued and very confused. And I think that I finished the movie also very confused. And I didn't even know if I liked it or not. So I watched it again yesterday. And now I realize that I hate this movie.
Yeah. Yes.
I really did not like it.
I did not like it at all.
I will look at my notes here. And it's bolded. So apparently it's very important in my notes. And it says, it's fucking terrible. Yeah. And that's my opening line of notes.
I didn't even have to write that down to remember it.
Yeah. I made some bullet points as to why this thing doesn't work. It's not as if, you know, watching this movie in terms of some of the technical aspects of it and some of the visuals, it's not a horrible thing to look at as you go through it. But this movie sucks because, first and foremost, it's a waste of actually bringing back Keanu Reeves and Carrie Ann Moss together. They have really good chemistry. The moment when they sit down in the coffee shop is the best scene in this entire movie. It's compelling and interesting to look at those two actors working together. So the fact that you actually take two interesting talents and take some of the history and try to put them in the middle of this shit fest, it just seems like a complete waste of their talents. I'll start with that.
Yeah, I did like the coffee shop scenes. And we can go through them. I don't know how you want to dive in. We're going right into just tearing it apart. Have you any intro setup?
Just a couple other points at the top for me in terms of why I didn't like this. The second thing is, I actually think this movie attempts to justify the sequels a little bit. It brings back, what's his name, the French guy.
The Merovingian.
Nobody cared when that guy showed up on the screen in the second one. Does anybody want to see him as a homeless guy ranting at them in this movie? No. They make kind of a big deal about bringing Niobe back. As people were watching this movie and she reappeared on the screen, guess who gasped in pleasant surprise? The answer is nobody, right? Pointless character from the sequels. The action sequences in this movie are really, really bad. People doing shit all over the screen all the time. There's no choreography. The geography of the fight scenes is totally messed up. And even the actual fighting itself, the fighting style, is so dumbed down. And in the original Matrix, and even in the sequels, the fighting was very elegant. This is just all over the place.
What's interesting about that, they had no second unit. And so all the action scenes were actually shot by Lana Wachowski also. Where previous Matrix, they did have a second unit.
Oh, that's interesting.
And plus they changed the cinematographer, so this is their first one without Bill Pope. And it shows.
Yeah, it looks nothing like the originals.
I think they had one scene. They tried to mimic the minigun with the bullets, and it still was barely effective to, like, okay, you're trying to call back to that, but this looks nothing like that.
Yeah, I think the special effects in this movie are worse than the 1999 original.
I don't know about that. It was very disorienting, purposely so, I thought, where they would go through the doors and the doors would rotate on the screen. There's a couple of things like that. Remind me, I haven't seen it, but what's the Christopher Nolan one?
Inception? The hallway fight in Inception?
I was thinking of Tenet, because I think Tenet might do that also. And I haven't seen Tenet. I saw Inception. But they do some of those interesting perspective changes. I thought those were kind of cool. Very disorienting. It's hard to kind of follow what the hell is happening in the fight, just from a special effects. Like, oh, it's kind of cool.
I think the other thing is that there's an attempt at delivering a message here.
Can you tell me what that message is?
Yeah, I missed that. I thought the message was, we would like to make more money off this IP.
Well, that's part of it, right? It seems like there are actually three messages, I think, that are being delivered in this movie. The first one is the whole sort of meta commentary. Warner Brothers forced us to make a sequel. So I don't know if we're making a shitty movie in protest of the Warner Brothers move to try to milk more cash out of the IP. My quick thought there is, fine, if you don't want to do it, give it to somebody who might want to do it, right? Yeah. As opposed to trying to hold on to it and maybe make a shitty movie out of protest.
I'm not sure that I'd buy that, because how would Warner Brothers force anyone to make a sequel?
A lot of money.
It's laid out there directly, using dialogue in the film itself to try to make some sort of a statement.
No, I get that, which is why it's hyper meta to the point of just complete distraction. But
right.
I just don't. Is that really the message of this movie?
They can force someone to do it just by offering them enough money to really want to do it. That's the easy way.
The second message is that we are all slaves to the internet and we're all stuck in our own individual echo chambers. The looping modal and all of the dialogue around that you people will believe anything. It's more emotion than reason at this point. Great. So I guess that's a commentary on the internet in terms of, where people hang out or in different pockets of the internet.
That part I think is rather interesting. I think if they could have focused somewhat on that, they could have made a more interesting movie. When the first Matrix came out, it was just around the internet, is it real, is it not? It was very, very beginnings of the internet. And now here we are 20 years later, and it's taken over everyone's life in a way that the first one hadn't. Where the first movie was predicting the future almost, about like, oh, look at how this could be a simulation, and look how you could just live in this denial. And then to a certain degree, it's almost true, right? And it's 20 years later, you have this. So there could have been a lot more rich commentary on that. And I think they just really missed their chance at doing something interesting for fan service of, I don't know, they just got caught up in whatever world they created previously that they tried to continue that world somehow.
I agree that there's an interesting concept that's buried here in terms of what the criticism, or at least the criticism that is attempting to be delivered, but
yeah.
Just saying lines of dialogue about, oh, you people will believe the craziest shit, it's very, very superficial from a commentary standpoint, and it doesn't really go anywhere.
Throughout the whole movie, they just talked a whole lot. scenes of them walking and talking with Niobe, you're just like, what are you guys even doing? Like
the fucking dialogue in this movie. And like,
oh man,
this is Star Trek jargon off the charts, right? And just total random bullshit.
50 meters below the anomalium is a stratum of amniotic filters. Hidden along this edge is a small hexagonal vent. This vent feeds the air intake into the corpuscular modifier, which oxygenates the biogel used in Neo's pod.
I get it. The exomorph slinkies up Neo's old umbilicus.
Once inside, Morpheus will use the system operator to open the evacuator line and disengage the macerators.
Let me ask you a question. What was the point of the plot?
Like, what was the overall plot?
Like, what was just the very super high level? What was the point of this movie? Was it find the one? Was it to save Zion? I would say that those are the points of the first movies, right?
Right.
What's the point of this movie?
My view, and I don't remember, who's the blue-haired girl?
Bugs.
Bugs.
So Bugs was trying to save Neo.
Great, mission accomplished, 40 minutes in.
Yeah, yeah. Her overall goal was to continue saving people. So Niobe got set on the Io world that she had, this small group of people, and she was focused on keeping those people alive and going, which is a very small group. And Bugs wanted to expand and continue saving people out of the Matrix. The overall message is very similar to the first one. Instead of Zion, it's Io. And then now you're getting get Neo out there and get him to continue saving people out of the Matrix.
I just didn't buy it. It was like, oh, I'm searching for Neo. Oh, I found him. I pulled him out.
Yeah.
And then what happens then? Well, he wants to get Trinity. So they get Trinity. And great.
Yeah, that one.
That's it. I mean, the whole second half of the movie, I'm going, where are we going with this? Other than just getting Trinity, like, okay. So it's the whole movie is just a rescue op?
Yeah, it was like two rescue ops.
If the machines are fighting themselves, great. Let the machines fight themselves. And if they actually didn't free all the people that were previously stuck in the Matrix, you know, because they were able to, you know, reboot it or reconfigure it, okay, so they haven't really freed humanity at all, even though they had a previous peace with the machines, nothing happened to the people. They stayed in their pods.
But they freed some, and that's who's in Io now, right? I think they kind of said, we freed enough. The machines are battling each other. Let's just hunker down and stick around in Io. I don't know.
So you could say then, especially because of the very last scene of the movie, spoilers, by the way, you know, now Trinity and Neo are going to make changes to the Matrix that will then make more people become aware and people will start to want to find the real world and leave the Matrix. But doesn't that just completely undo everything Neo did at the end of Revolutions, where he essentially brokered a peace with the machines? Now he's just going to end up undoing all that and they might go back to war again because they're losing their power source. I just find none of this compelling. Like I said, I watched this a second time and it was a struggle to get through. It's like weighted down by all of this very confusing plot. I had no idea what was going on at the beginning. I don't know what a modal is.
Nobody does.
They explain it, but I still don't understand what it is.
Yeah.
Let me ask you one question then, because I just want to make sure. You may not understand what the modal is, but you definitely understand what an exomorphic particle index is, right?
What is that?
An exomorphic particle codex.
It's pretty new.
It gives programs access to this world within limits.
Oh, totally.
Because Morpheus is an exomorphic particle index.
So Morpheus, okay, so sort of understand what was going on there. What happened to Morpheus in the second half of this movie?
What happened to the real Morpheus? I mean, there's many questions.
I mean, yeah. But they start this rescue operation, and he kind of like just disappears.
Yeah, he was like hanging out with them in the thing.
Well, okay, let me finish off our general setup on
okay.
this, right?
Well, so, yes, please.
This maintains a 5.7 rating on the IMDb.
Oh, wow.
I said that in the beginning, in the intro, that this was the worst of the Matrix sequels, and apparently the population at large is aligned with me, because you have the Matrix that scores an 8.7, Matrix Reloaded, 7.2, Matrix Revolutions, 6.8, and now, again, this one is at 5.7. Also, this has only made $30 million at the U.S. domestic box office, and it's made $106 million globally. I don't think that this can be considered a financial success, even within the realm of COVID. Maybe HBO Max, maybe they blew the doors off because we all certainly watched it, but people are not flocking to this movie to see it. And I think a lot of people probably are getting word of mouth on it and thinking that, well, maybe I'll take a pass.
Yeah.
Okay, actually, how about this? Just one quick test. Aside from maybe Bugs, Shepard, or of course Neo or Trinity, I'll give you guys $5 if you can name any other character on that ship.
And we walked through them all too. I have no idea. I was not paying attention.
Can you name any single other
Lexi.
Character?
Lexi?
Is there a Lexi?
I think so.
By the way, apparently Christina Ricci is in this film. Where?
I saw her name in the credits, yeah. And I was like, wait, what?
Yeah.
And so that was my thought I spent too. Probably 15, 20 minutes trying to figure out where she was in this movie. So she's the, I guess, the head of the game company, and she's leading that meeting where she's talking about like the marketing research for the new game. She's got sort of auburn curls.
I did not.
She's literally in it for 20 seconds.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I did not recognize her at all.
I mean, I like Christina Ricci, so I was shocked that I watched the movie that she was in and I didn't see her. So.
I know. I was completely dumbfounded. I think maybe much of her role ended up on the cutting room floor.
Yeah.
They don't even name her in the movie. Who's Gwen Devere? I have no idea.
So I mentioned in the Matrix, our Matrix pod, which we were all pretty, you know, glowingly enthusiastic for the original. I mentioned how Dylan wouldn't watch the movie and I was frustrated by that. So just to let you know, after I watched this movie, I went downstairs and I said, hey, Dylan, if you ever watch The Matrix, just watch the first one and pretend that no other movies were made.
Yeah.
So, and then you'll enjoy it. You'll enjoy it more. Okay, from a director standpoint, Lana Wachowski, what do you have to say? You want to say anything about the overall direction of this film or maybe their previous films?
It's only her sister opted out of doing it. They both lost their parents in the last year, I believe, or last couple of years. Lily was talking about how she didn't want to do it. She'd gone through the transition and then lost her parents and going back to something she did in the past. She didn't want to revisit that. She wanted, that was a life before and she wanted to move forward. And Lana wanted to do it through working through her grief. It's hard to tell like if it suffers without the two of them, if it would have been better if they both were involved or not. They didn't have a good script to work from. And I think they didn't have a great idea they were going off of. And that's really the flaws of the movie, not necessarily the any specifics with directing her. I think just overall plan is just poor.
Yeah, I guess I don't really know what to think of the Wachowskis overall. Obviously, the original Matrix, I think, is a masterpiece. Really like Bound.
Yeah, Bound's really good.
I actually thought Cloud Atlas was pretty interesting. I don't know if you guys ever saw Cloud Atlas. And then I'll even say that Jupiter Ascending, which a lot of people, I think, shit all over, I thought that movie was okay. And it was 10 times as good as this movie. So
yeah, I think it's hard when you're known for one thing like this. They're being asked to keep going back to it and continue something that's already been finished. I think that's where it becomes really hard.
They might be tired of it, in which case I say, I let it go and let somebody else take a shot at it if they want to play with the IP.
Yeah, that's what it feels like to me. They were not interested in doing this. The movie kind of feels like it's kind of poking fun at itself in many ways.
Well, maybe we can roll to cast because I do want to say that watching Keanu Reeves in this film, at least his performance, certainly in the first half of the movie, he seems what I would describe as exhausted to be here. That's the general vibe that he's giving off, right? It's, you know, bored, exhausted. I mean, I really like Keanu Reeves. I think his performance overall in this movie is muted, understated. It's not even Neo at all. It's not close to what you'd want for Neo.
Dude, if you had to work with Jude every day, you'd be exhausted too.
Had to work with who?
Jude.
Who's Jude?
The character in the movie, his handler, Jude.
Oh, that's that guy's name? Yeah, the tool that is his, yeah, the program handler, sorry. You can tell how closely I was paying attention to character.
Exactly. Probably the most annoying character in the movie.
Yeah. What do you guys think about Keanu in this?
I think Keanu is good. Like you said, Keanu and Carrie Ann Moss, they're great together. Interesting that you said that he looked like he was exhausted through this movie because, I think you're right. I don't really have much to say about either Keanu or Carrie Ann Moss. I think they're doing right by their characters, right? It's everyone else in the movie that I just have things to say about.
Carrie Ann Moss, it's great to see her here. She's very compelling when she's on the screen and the two of them together, it is sort of captivating to see because it probably, you know, hits the nostalgia button in your head a little bit. They give Trinity nothing to do in this movie. It's so strange. She has almost no arc whatsoever until the very end, when her arc just goes from 0 to 1,000.
I know, right?
No setup for the reveal at all. Like, nothing. It just comes out of nowhere.
Yeah, I didn't really understand that at all.
Yeah, when she's walking away from the cafe part.
Yeah, and it's like, you know, my name is Trinity, because they're trying to echo the Neo moment from the original, and it just falls super flat.
Yeah.
Yeah, so the two of them are good in what they're given to do, and what they're given to do is complete bullshit. I guess that's how I'd summarize their performance.
Yeah, I felt like the rest of the cast then just trying to fill in for the roles that they were given, and they just did such a poor job of it. The Morpheus character and the Agent Smith, both of them, they're like, okay, these are the shoes we're trying to fill, and we're going to try to be cool like Lawrence Fishburne was, menacing like Hugo Weaving was, and they both miss completely.
It's like watching The Matrix redone as a high school play.
Yeah, exactly. It was like, okay, they're trying to mimic someone else instead of just be themselves, instead of trying to be these other characters. Like, okay, alter how Morpheus is supposed to be and bring your own part to it or something. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, I really like Yahya Abdul-Mateen II. I loved him in Watchmen. He was great. He was really good in The Trial of the Chicago 7.
He plays a great Black Manta in Aquaman as the villain there. He's a super compelling actor. Like, I was pretty blown away by him in Watchmen in particular. Knowing what he can do as an actor and then forcing him to try to do like a really bad imitation of Lawrence Fishburne.
It was a weird performance.
Yeah.
It's almost like he's halfway leaning into it and halfway saying, this is kind of fucking stupid that you're having me do this. Like, that's what the performance feels like.
Yeah, for sure.
It's a mixture of those two things.
Yeah, it's weird.
I mean, I think they give him a character moment where he goofs on that very specifically, right? When he slides out of the bathroom, he references what happened in the original Matrix when Morpheus appears. And so I actually think that that's a little bit of, they're poking fun at the fact that they're making me do this. That's what that felt like to me anyways.
Yeah, there's so much of that self-referential part that's tiring. I don't know. Did not like it. It did not work.
Jonathan Groff as Smith is even worse. It's far worse.
I was going to say, for Lawrence Fishburne, very interesting because he was quoted as saying, you're going to have to ask Lana Wachowski why I'm not in this movie. So it was not his decision.
Right. He was not even approached to be in the film, apparently. That's what he said.
Yeah. Meanwhile, I think Hugo Weaving was approached, but he couldn't do it.
Yeah.
He had scheduling conflicts.
No, he planned to do it. Then he read the script. And he's like, no, I'm kind of busy here doing this. I got this off-Broadway thing I'm doing with.
Naturally, if you can't get Hugo Weaving, you go to Jonathan Groff.
Yeah.
I like Jonathan Groff, especially in Mindhunter, but I do not like this performance at all.
Oh, it's terrible. It's terrible because it's trying to do sort of a Hugo Weaving impersonation. You know what really bothers me about this character is he doesn't earn the gravitas that he's trying to deliver on the screen, right? Because he's trying to channel the fact that Hugo Weaving already did it.
Yeah.
It just comes across as very bizarre because you're supposed to be intimately familiar with this character and his mannerisms and all that, but he doesn't look anything like Hugo Weaving, obviously, and it just completely doesn't work.
In The Matrix Revolutions, there's a character, a human character. His mind is overtaken by Agent Smith, and the guy literally starts doing a Hugo Weaving impersonation for the rest of the movie.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really good. I have to say, it was very good. Why didn't they ask that guy to play Smith?
He does not come across as menacing or anything at all in this. He seems too like smarmy almost or something. I don't know. It's just not a great character at all. Is he supposed to be a villain? I don't even know what his like role was supposed to be in this one.
Are you familiar with Jonathan Groff?
Yeah, Marcus? Yeah. I saw Mindhunter. He's really good in that.
Do you know he also plays the voice of Kristoff in Frozen?
Oh, does he? Oh, that's funny. I thought that was, it's the guy who sings it. No, it's not him.
No, not Olaf, but Kristoff.
Oh, I was thinking of Olaf. I'm sorry.
By the way, Frozen? I like that movie.
It's a good movie. I've seen Frozen 2.
I'm going to have to watch it again.
Frozen 2 is pretty good, too.
Yeah, I saw it.
We are well-versed in the
How Frozen did you not movie. Like Frozen? I mean, it's a pretty good movie. I mean, come on.
Well, I'm a 50-year-old man without kids. That's how. But I do like it.
Actually, the fact that you're watching Frozen, that makes me slightly concerned. But
Jonathan Groff plays the king in Hamilton, too.
Yeah.
He's really good.
Right, no. But that's the thing. When I look at Jonathan Groff from Hamilton, because I have seen scenes with him in Hamilton, but that's sort of what I'm getting from Smith in this movie. And it's so weird.
Both Kristoff and the King are both comedic roles to a certain degree, right? The King and
yeah.
like his songs are very, very, they're funny. There's a twist to it. That's not Smith is supposed to be. He's not a comedic role.
Right. It's almost like Lana Wachowski said, I want Jonathan Groff as, you know, Holden Ford from Mindhunter. And she got King George or Kristoff from Frozen. It's weird.
Yeah, but his Mindhunter character, he's more naive. Whereas that's not supposed to be Agent Smith either. Agent Smith's supposed to be like almost a know-it-all, right? And he doesn't have that little smirk. Or the smirk's not a comedic smirk. It's totally off, I agree.
Yeah, it just does not work for me at all.
I think the Smith and Morpheus characters and their associated performances are the worst thing about this movie.
What about the analyst, Neil Patrick Harris?
Neil Patrick Harris is just fun to watch on screen. So that's, I agree. Yeah, so I like Neil Patrick Harris. He can project the smarminess really effectively. So the character that they have him playing, it definitely seems like he's having some fun with it. He looks like he's having the most fun out of any actor in this movie by far. And I like watching him. But I will say that the analyst is another stupid example of, it used to be the architect and now it's the analyst. And, you know, he had to redo the modal matrix, blah, 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 blah. It's like, just shut the fuck up. It's like all of the jargon and the mythology and all that is just ludicrous.
Yeah, I totally agree.
The one thing that I actually did understand was what the analyst was doing. Somehow that was clear. That was clear to me. Maybe because he took a 2-minute monologue and like laid it all out.
Right.
Give me a summary.
I'll give you my 30-second that deals with the analyst. So okay. Neo didn't die at the end of Matrix Revolutions. He was reconstructed by Barney Stinson from How I Met Your Mother. The Matrix has been rebooted by Barney, who took over from the architect. This is an improved version of the Matrix in that it's way more efficient and productive because the analyst programmed it to play on human emotions in people's everyday lives. He plays on fear and desire. So because of this, not many humans feel the innate desire to leave the Matrix and find the real world. But for some unknown reason, it only works well when Neo and Trinity are physically near each other, not together, because then the whole thing crashes, but just close enough for the thing to work. Science.
The part of them being close makes no sense.
Exactly, right? There's no setup or justification or any kind of bases and acid together or whatever. And it's just like, what? Why? what do these two random human beings have to do? How can they power the entire Matrix, even if they are now the ones? Maybe they're the twos because they're each a one. They're the twos together. I don't know.
They're binary. They're one and zero. They're yin and yang. They're light and dark. I don't know. It's just
dumb.
Whatever.
Yeah. Well, anything else you want to say about Neil Patrick Harris, Marcus, or Colin?
No, I'm a huge NPH fan. I like seeing him in anything. He did okay with what he was asked. The overall plot and other things were the bigger issues than him himself.
I found it to be strange casting, personally. Yeah, I like Neil Patrick Harris, but it's just odd to see him in a Matrix movie.
I think it worked. I mean, I think it was seeing him on screen was the most enjoyable stuff for me, I think.
Yeah.
For me, it was Neo and Trinity together.
No, I just like the Jefferson Airplane song. That was about it.
That was pretty good.
I will say, this is one of my favorite Christina Ricci performances in this film.
All 20 seconds of it.
Jessica Henwick is Bugs. I'd never seen her before, except for she was Nymeria Sand in Game of Thrones. Probably the worst characters in the history of Game of Thrones, the Sand Snakes. I liked her. I thought she had a pretty good performance.
I think she has good energy, maybe as a comparison even to, you know, Keanu and his super subdued energy. She's there to sort of be this ongoing stream of exposition. And so they give her all this dialogue to try and explain what's happening, like in the beginning when she has the conversation with Morpheus. But I don't know that her role, I mean, what she's laying out actually makes a ton of sense if you really start breaking it down, right? Because all of a sudden, magic doors open everywhere and, you know, she knows Morpheus. How does she know Morpheus? It's just, even the stuff that she's given to do, if you look at it too closely, I don't think it works.
Well, don't look at anything too closely in this movie.
No. Don't look at this movie. That's a better way to say it.
Yeah, the whole like, oh, we don't need phones anymore. We've got mirrors and doors. But then there's numerous points where they can't find a mirror or a door anywhere.
You want to jump into this thing and talk about a few key scenes? Things we didn't like about the film?
Sure.
The opening is an interesting concept. I'll give it that, right? That somehow that the original Matrix or elements of the Matrix have been created as a loop and it's being run. I do think that having this scene redone, it ends up being a bad idea because it reminds you how good the original Matrix is. And then seeing somebody basically play the Trinity role when it's not Trinity, or seeing a different versions of the agents, it just comes across as really weird. And actually, it pulls you out of the movie, I think. That was my experience watching it.
It was Trinity at the beginning. Wasn't it her, like, in the handcuffs?
I mean, it was not Carrie Ann Moss.
No, it's not Carrie Ann Moss. Yeah.
Oh, was it?
It was Trinity, but not Carrie Ann Moss.
Oh, I thought it was for some reason. But I agree. I think they did this numerous times where you're like, okay, they're trying to get you to think back to it. Or they go into Neo's apartment and you're supposed to instantly recognize it's Neo's apartment because you're like a super fan and you love every single thing about the movie. And anything we show you is going to be like, oh my God, there's a white rabbit tattoo. This is like amazing.
By the way, it did not even look like Neo's apartment.
So that opening scene, I felt the same. Okay, this is the same as before. Why are they doing this? It made no sense.
Just one other thing about this movie is the lighting in it seems really bad. And I don't know why that is. The intro hallway, it's way too dark. That ends up being replicated at the end action sequence. And I assume that that's partially because, I don't know if you guys ever saw Pacific Rim, but you have these giant monsters that are fighting in the rain at night because, you know, you can probably cut the CGI budget by a couple million in terms of smoothing things out if you do that.
Yep.
So I think there's a little bit of that here. So I think what they're trying to do is they're trying to give you the feeling of the original Matrix and show you what should be the Matrix. But since it's clearly not, they use darkness as a way to kind of hide some of the seams. And I think it's just a dumb decision.
As we said before, they have a different cinematographer. And this was also the first Matrix movie shot digitally. The rest were actually shot on 35, Super 35.
They choose not to show the iconic kick where she jumps in the air and freezes. If you're going to go through the process of recreating that original scene, why would you not just throw that in there? Because it's the big moment from the opening scene from the original.
She did like a run on the wall or something.
Yeah, she did part of it.
Yeah.
I don't know. The gunfire and the dodging of bullets and all that in this movie, it's really, really bad. I mean, people are at point blank range multiple times, like standing 3 feet in front of somebody with multiple machine guns, and nobody ever gets hit. At least in The Matrix, you kind of got the sense that, okay, people were able to dodge or that you're not directly drawing down on somebody when it's point blank range. That's not the case here. Look at the scene with Bugs on the roof with the agents. Three agents are standing right in front of her. They all have machine guns trained on her and she's able to just run around the corner. No problem. I don't know. It looks bad.
Yeah.
It's like 80s action movie bullet management.
Yeah, I totally agree. Even the humans are not getting hit.
For whatever reason, you don't see a lot of bullet impact in this or any bullet impact. It looks like people are firing blanks at the agents, and the agents are jumping back in the room going, oh, 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 like, you know, like they're just pretending versus the squibs or whatever. I don't know. It's the action choreography and the fight choreography is really bad.
There's one shot. It was in The Office. I think it was Agent Smith draws down on Neo or Thomas Anderson. Keanu Reeves is like right behind a desk, like the corner of a desk.
Oh, I remember that scene.
And then he fires and the corner of the desk is hit. But his face is like right behind there.
Yeah, I remember that exact
scene. He doesn't get hit.
Yeah.
Wait, what?
It was like the thinnest of IKEA furniture door was open in front of him and it splintered right at the top of it. Oh, yeah. He's right there. He's like, oh, he'd be dead.
Yeah. Just made no sense to me.
1/8 of an inch plywood stopping that bullet.
and even in that scene, and you get Morpheus doing cartwheels and stuff. And that did not look very impressive at all.
The wire work looks really bad comparatively to even the original Matrix.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But you have people that are sort of spinning in place in the hallway versus going from one location to another. So it's all of a sudden, hey, I'm just going to do a 360 in midair here. Bugs ends up pulling what is an agent character and then it, you know, becomes Morpheus. So the whole idea that Morpheus has been turned into an agent, whatever, I guess that can be somewhat interesting, but then they do the red pill, blue pill thing, and there's no context set up for a viewer at all as to, you know, what are these pills? Why are you giving them to me? What's the choice?
But even then, why are you giving the two pills to this Morpheus character when Morpheus is a program?
Yep.
I mean, technically, he's an exomorphic particle index.
No, he's a program. The exomorphic particle index allows him to take physical form in the real world.
Yeah.
Oh my God, I know what it is.
Yeah.
Right. Well, so do you know, I mean, do they explain that the pills will work on exomorphic particle indexes and humans? Do they explain that?
I don't know. I just don't understand why a program needs that.
Yeah. You know, one other thing I noticed, Bugs, she jumps off the roof at one point and she slides down the sign. And the sign that she slides into, it says, "For those who love to eat shit."
Yeah, I saw that.
That feels like that's a message that's being delivered for this movie. There's a little bit of like a fuck you, I made this movie. I don't know. This movie feels a little bit angry to me on some level. It yeah. really does.
I read something about this because I noticed that too. I was like, what the fuck? And apparently there's another sign somewhere else that says something similar. I just don't understand what this modal is. I know it's some sort of simulation. Is it running inside the Matrix? Is it like some...
The Matrix game or the Matrix...
Is it a subroutine inside the Matrix? I don't know. But supposedly it's because there are elements that are, you know, within this modal that just don't really make... They're just not necessary. It's sort of like the detail, right? Not everything needs all the detail. And so this is like sort of like a programmer's joke. Neo programmed it that way. That's what I read. And I can see that. I still don't really quite understand what this modal is. Like, is Bugs inside the Matrix or inside a program within the Matrix? I don't get it.
I think the modal is kind of like the construct that gets created for the training in the first Matrix.
No, see, I think Neo created the modal.
Yeah, it was either Neo or Thomas Anderson, and the modal was part of the game, the Matrix, inside of the Matrix.
Yes, Thomas Anderson created the modal.
This fucking movie.
Which is inside of the Matrix. So like the modal he created is a program inside the game, which is inside the actual Matrix. It's just all stupid.
But is it inside the game or is it part of the binary, the new game? I don't
know. No, because he was working on the old game. Like binary is a new one that he's supposed to be doing. But the
So he's working on the... Okay.
Yeah, but he was working on the modal inside the old game.
So he's got Morpheus trapped inside a modal.
Yeah, inside the game, which is inside the...
So it's like the character of Morpheus from the Matrix game is now inside this modal and doing simulation after simulation after simulation. And because of that is growing...
Self-aware.
Sentience?
Yeah, I don't know. It's also stupid. They try and, like that's where they try and like get too cute with it all. Every scene where they're talking about the game, the Matrix, I absolutely hated. All the meta construct of the Matrix is good because it fucked with your mind. Oh, that whole montage of the developing the game, I absolutely hated.
Which was like so meta that it was distracting because all I kept thinking was, this is like all this fan service for the movies, but they're talking about the game, but you clearly know it's actually the movie that you're talking about.
Right, and they also don't show you what the game was supposed to be like. So all they show you is clips from the movie, and it makes you wonder, so what was the game that you were playing before? Were you supposed to be...
That's what I want to know. What are the gameplay rules for the Matrix game?
Yeah, but also Trinity or Tiffany... played the game.
You know what it is? It's just like a simple side scroller. It's like, you know, you got like the Neo character boing 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 running like along and you know. Yeah, exactly. Oh boy. Yeah, moving on. So when you meet Neo, of course they throw in the line, "Oh, our first meeting had all the chemistry of an FBI interrogation." They keep creating clunky lines of dialogue to simply try to show you scenes from the original trilogy.
Yeah, in case you forgot what happened in The Matrix.
Right.
There are these callbacks, and they're witty and cute, but...
They're not.
God, it's just distracting.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it goes into a montage where Neo goes and meets the therapist, and so, you know, Neil Patrick Harris is the analyst, is supposed to be the person who is trying to keep Neo in The Matrix. Again, it's the choice. Are you getting out? Are you staying in? But it's just whatever. It doesn't really matter.
Let me ask you a question about this montage. So they go through the same line of dialogue for multiple lines of dialogue. They say it 2-3 times. Does that mean that he's going through this loop? This is his life is, oh, we're creating a new version of the Matrix game and do it like multiple times. And that's like his life.
That was my take on it.
I thought it was a horrible business meeting where people just keep regurgitating the same ideas over and over again.
Because I was thinking that as well, but now I'm thinking like, oh, well, maybe it was just all looped. No wonder he's exhausted.
Yeah, no, I thought it was a loop as well. And, you know, my favorite shot on that is where, you know, it's Keanu and he's down in the bathtub and he's got the duck on his head. And it's as if he's having this moment where he's representing the viewer at this point where you're like,
yeah,
exactly. Oh God, fuck this. Like that's what that feels like.
It's just so stupid.
Yeah. He goes to the coffee shop and his handler, right? So the Jude guy The idea is that within this Matrix reality that he wants Neo to get kind of close to Trinity because that's going to generate more energy for the Matrix, right? That's what this is about, but not have them together. His point is to actually try and get them close, right? That's what is happening here. Is that correct?
I don't know either.
I would have enjoyed just watching them have a 90-minute conversation more than this movie.
Are they going to get together? She's got this other life. He's pining for her. There was interest there. The hard part with all of it, too, is he like, oh, you know, all this is fake. The whole Matrix construct makes it very difficult for anything happening inside the Matrix because you know it's not real.
Well, yeah, and I wasn't sure if the whole idea that she's satisfied with her life but not really satisfied with her life because she has a husband and the two kids and they're well-paying jobs and they're well-to-do, and that's ultimately a trap that we're all stuck in. I'm not sure if there was some sort of commentary that they were trying for there or not.
I just like the fact, I guess the analyst just did a little fuck you by naming Trinity Tiffany.
Right.
And then by having her married to Keanu's stunt double.
Chad, whose name is actually Chad. He's the director of the John Wick movies. He probably should have directed this movie.
maybe he should have directed the stunt sequences.
Yeah.
Or maybe he did.
No, I can't see that. When they go back to the game company, so there's an alarm that's going off, and Keanu ends up going into the bathroom, and this is where you have that moment I referenced before where the new version of Morpheus, you know, steps out and they have a conversation. But as they're sitting there talking, all of a sudden a guard comes flying in with a machine gun into the bathroom and just starts firing wildly. What is the scenario here? What happened at this game company that all of a sudden they sent the SWAT team in? I mean, I'm asking that legitimately. Like, what is the plot point that generates a massive armed police response to this building?
I think it was the fact that Morpheus showed up. Now the analyst is having the SWAT team. I don't know. Or do you mean the original why the alarm was going off?
So everybody else who's supposed to be just, you know, living their lives as a programmer or whatever, working for this game company, like all of a sudden the SWAT team enters the building. It just seems like a very strange, it's a very abrupt transition. Let's get to the action kind of thing versus explaining why the action's happening, my opinion.
But I think just because of the fact that Morpheus shows up, they're going to try to attempt to bring him out of the Matrix.
Oh, you know, I'm sorry. I want to circle back on one thing really quick. I did like the fact that in the intro, the way that they get out of it is they take a running jump through a window and they fall into a giant Matrix hole. That was well established in terms of mythology. You guys agree with that, right?
Yeah, the whole getting into and out of, I was still confused.
I would have thought that going through a window was like going through a mirror, but apparently you crash through the window and fall. That didn't make a lot of sense to me.
I think they could have worked on that.
They don't explain the transportation part of this at all. There's a scene where, you know, when Neo's on the roof, are you the one who hacked my modal? That's one of my favorite lines of dialogue in this film. Are you the one who hacked my modal? Do you guys want to get together and hack some modals later?
It's not Neo from the previous ones. It's Thomas Anderson made it inside the Matrix game.
They jump through these different portals, and I think having Keanu Reeves, you know, have like the ski cap on, it's just kind of, it's a very strange look for a few minutes there for Keanu. He's just kind of sort of rolling through this thing saying, I'm getting paid, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah.
By the way, the other thing that happens around here is there's this idea of bots. So the bots are being activated as a swarm. And the last 20 minutes of this movie becomes a zombie movie whatever reason. It's shot as a zombie movie. All the action is very zombie movie specific. It tries to set that up here. We've had enough zombie movies. I don't think we need to turn The Matrix into a zombie movie. Just my opinion.
You didn't like the body splats at the end?
No, actually, that was kind of creative, but that I did like. So, using the bodies as bombs.
It's kind of unnecessary, I thought.
I'm just glad that the blood was green and not red, because that would have been really disgusting.
Yeah.
I mean, what do you guys think of the bots or the swarm thing or whatever?
Kind of dumb.
I thought it was interesting from the standpoint of it's like a real world representation of something that's virtual, like a bot attack. But then as part of the movie itself, like you said, kind of like a zombie swarm.
What grabbed the first one that made it interesting made you really think about it. And for whatever reason, this one did not. Either they try to explain it too much or they just put in so much weird stuff. Did not make me curious to know, like, okay, how is this all constructed? We're doing this shit. You're like, all right, whatever. I don't care.
Wow, that's how I felt for about 2.5 hours yesterday.
Yeah. Okay, you got these bot things, whatever. It wasn't an interesting, it didn't grip you and make you wonder, like, oh, exactly, how is he getting there? Okay, what is this? And that's what made the first one so interesting. And I hate saying this, too, because this is the stupid lines they had in the movie. What worked in the first one is it bent your mind. This movie sucks.
This movie, it just suffers from being a reboot.
Yeah, but it knows it's a reboot. And it talks about itself being a reboot while it's making a game of the reboot of the...
Right.
If they had just gone with a straight reboot or almost done The Force Awakens retelling of The Matrix in a slightly different way.
But they did.
That's what they tried to do, I thought. Ugh.
They did, but then they added layer upon layer of meta and it was weighed down by that. I don't understand this rebootology. I don't want to see Star Wars remade as The Force Awakens. It was an okay movie, but I've seen that. I saw it back in 1977. I don't need to see it again.
Well, and that was after they already kind of remade Star Wars' Return of the Jedi, at least the last part of it, so.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Like, come on, guys. Really? Make something interesting and new.
So they, you know, they get Neo out of the goo. And by the way, he's actually flown out of the goo. All of a sudden, this becomes a Disney film for a second. Cute machines. They got Sabibi and somebody named Octocles or whatever. It's like a Transformer Disney movie all of a sudden out of nowhere. What the fuck is going on here? I mean, this is not The Matrix.
You had that, like, that little Groot, baby Groot robot that was giving him a high five. Like,
I know, like, blowing it up. Oh, I just so groaned at that moment.
In terms of trying to deliver a message, right? So he has one conversation with Bugs. Bugs is saying that the Matrix, it weaponizes every idea, every dream, right? So they're trying to do some commentary about how the internet's bad and the internet delivers bad messages or, you know, takes thoughts and makes them worse or something, but it's just stupid. I'm sorry. It just doesn't. It reaches for something that falls flat.
Yeah.
They could have worked on that. I think that would have been a more interesting movie if they just focused on that, got rid of the whole Io and Niobe and somehow rebooted it better that way.
How about you just pick one idea and stick to that?
Yeah, exactly. I think that's where it comes down to. Is they just had all these different things. How do we make this fit in with the two sequels, with them dying? How do we get them back? How do we fix all this stuff? Which is interesting with the, what was the movie we just watched? Or the Michael Myers, the Halloween, right? The new Halloween, the 2018 version. Just, yeah. Okay, forget Halloween's 2 through 18. We're just going to reboot the whole thing right here. And this is taking after right after the first one. They could have done something very similar to that and just ignored it.
Yeah, I want to see the prequel that mostly focuses on Octocles.
Was it Octocles or Sebebe who was actually purring?
Yeah, yeah. I would say one of them was purring or you know, going, making little cute creature noises.
Yeah, they could have done a prequel. That would have been a more interesting movie for sure.
By the way, speaking of the creature design, because they do get to Io soon after that, and you're introduced to the bird creature. Somebody looked at the creature design in the Abyss, and they said, give me one of those.
Are you talking about Kujako?
I didn't even pay attention.
Kujaku? Because when Kujaku showed up, I'm like, when did this turn into an anime?
Yeah.
It really does look like the exact creature design from the aliens at the end of the Abyss. It's very similar.
Yeah, I thought of the owl from Clash of the Titans. That's what made me think of.
Oh, yeah, that's actually, yeah, the face. Yeah. That's a good call. And the other thing that I'm not sure it works here. So when Neo is talking to Niobe, he's like, oh, this is, they take a drink and it's a long way from Dozer's paint stripper. Niobe was never on the ship with Dozer at the same time, right? In the first one. Colin, you watched the sequels.
Yes, correct. Dozer was dead before the sequels. It's like, okay, well, she probably knew Dozer. They're a tight-knit group. He probably shared his paint stripper at some point before then, but... Would Neo know that? I don't know, maybe.
So you're saying focusing on the alcoholic drink continuity of the two films is probably an inappropriate level of focus?
What I'm saying is that I totally noticed it. It stood out, and I had the same question, but I was just like, I don't fucking care.
Yeah, okay.
This is fan service.
Yeah, but that's a problem. I want to know what fans are trying to serve here.
If you're trying to serve fans like me who love The Matrix, wow, did you just blow it?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Who is this movie made for?
Five-year-olds?
I don't know.
I don't know either.
Here's this old IP, like we're going to reintroduce you to it. It's not made for that. You're not bringing a new audience onto it.
I think it's like made for a 16-year-old kid who saw The Matrix when he was 8 years old because his dad forced him to watch it. And he's seen it once. And then he watches this movie. And then he's like, oh, yeah, that happened. Oh, right, that happened. Oh, yeah. And that's it.
It's a stretch. That one kid out there.
That one kid.
They go and they see a statue of Morpheus. And it's, of course, it's the Lawrence Fishburne version of Morpheus. So the fact that you actually have that in the movie where you have a different actor playing Morpheus at the same time, I think is a very strange decision. All it does is remind you that, oh, wait, no, that's not the same actor.
Yeah. Especially since you didn't call up that actor to see if he could be in this movie.
Right.
Yeah. But is Morpheus... I mean, I guess you could make an argument that, well, this Morpheus doesn't look like the original Morpheus because it's gone through so many different simulations that his features have changed.
Why did his features change?
Also, because Bugs didn't immediately look at this agent and go, oh my God, it's you, Morpheus!
Right.
Yeah. Again, none of this makes sense.
The other thing that happens here that I have a question about is, so Neo has this moment, he's like, I'm sorry. How could I know this would happen? How could you know what would happen? By sacrificing your life to try to save humanity before, you couldn't project that 60 years in the future. Or maybe actually he's apologizing to the audience that they made this movie.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, man. It's just another shitty sequel. I don't know. Keanu seems pretty down in this movie.
Yeah.
And I say that as a big Keanu fan.
I think he's willing just to do anything. You want to make a sequel to Bill and Ted? We'll help out.
Alex Winters? Throw him a bone.
I'll throw Alex Winters a bone. Let's make a reboot. Sure. You want to do a Matrix? Sure. Wachowskis need some more money. We'll help him out. Whatever. It's good. I'll just do another John Wick 4 and we'll be cruising.
So there's a couple other things. So this is where they then go into the Matrix for the first time as a group. I kept waiting for the outfit reveal moment for Neo. Because you remember in the first Matrix, the jeans and a t-shirt basically the first time around, and then he becomes his full cool self when he does the lobby attack?
Yeah.
They never take him and evolve him to a level of true style, which I think is sort of interesting. So, you know, everybody else has the sunglasses and is pretty tricked out. He is not this time. So I just think that that's interesting. When they enter the Matrix, this is where the first big fight happens. I just think the fight choreography here is terrible. There's two problems, right? One is they try to recreate the subway fight from the original Matrix by having him square off against this new version of Smith. And again, all that does is remind you how great that first fight was. This fight, by comparison, is executed very sloppily. It's very sloppy looking. It looks like a music video from the late 80s, right? Where it's people like up on catwalks that are dancing in the background. That's really what this looks like, because it's just people randomly punching people and you don't care about any of it.
Yeah. So it's like American Bandstand?
You know, it's like a Paula Abdul video is what it is, you know, or Janet Jackson video or something. Maybe a Janet Jackson video, that's what it is.
Yeah, maybe not the best space to do this type of fighting because it's just a bunch of stairs and platforms.
Right. And they give him the line, I still know Kung Fu. In a better movie, it could have actually been delivered in a fun way, but here it just feels completely forced.
Yeah.
Just seeing the Merovingian show up. Why? Why?
Yeah, because everybody had unanswered questions as to where the Merovingian was in this movie.
And then he's spouting a bunch of nonsense that's commentary on, again, I think he calls some sort of version of Mark Zuckerberg. I'm just like, you just lost me. I'm not even paying attention to you anymore.
Yeah.
It honestly feels like a fuck you to the people that were down on the sequels, having that guy show up at all, honestly. It's very strange. So then he decides.
It's exhausting just to get through this podcast. God.
I still have to talk about this movie. It's in the interview.
At some point, he gets to Trinity. And so rather than going in and he has an opportunity to talk to her, he has a limited amount of time. Rather than say, look, hey, I think if you're feeling something weird, it's because we were in the Matrix before and this sounds crazy. And, you know, and just giving her a very linear explanation. Again, he comes in and he's talking in metaphors. At some point, I realized I gave up looking for something real. Okay, what's she supposed to do with that, right? So, I don't know. Just if you have a compressed amount of time, you might want to get to the details of what it is, what the message is you're really trying to get across to her faster.
I don't know. You try to explain the Matrix to her, she's going to be like, somebody call the mental hospital.
Neil Patrick Harris shows up, the analyst, and he starts... walking through his ability to manipulate, and he actually uses bullet time, right? Using bullet time as a phrase within the movie itself for the style that was developed as part of the original movie is
horrible.
That's a bad decision, I think.
It is.
He's got super bullet time.
Maybe it's supposed to be a cool scene, or you're supposed to feel a sense of tension with the bullet slowly going towards Trinity. I felt no tension whatsoever. It was not staged effectively to generate any genuine tension.
No, somebody just said, what if we stuck an apple in front of one of those bullets and we could have that exploding apple shot?
Right.
That was the only point.
Things being destroyed in slow motion are always fun to look at.
Yeah.
I think, Colin, you might have got me a book on stopping time. Maybe a photo book on.
Yeah. When I saw that, I was like, oh, it's going to look just like that photo. And it didn't. And I was very disappointed.
Yeah.
Boom.
They extract Trinity and they're going to, or they have to make a choice at some point or give her the choice to, you know, stay inside or come out. And then they go meet Satine, which was, again, a young girl character, I think, from the second one. Colin, you just watched the sequels, right? Is that the girl who was in there?
I think it was the third. Yeah, the third. And she was the little girl in the subway station.
Right. So thank God that both what happened to Satine and the Merovingian are answered in this movie, because when I watched the original Matrix trilogy, those were my absolute burning concerns.
Yeah. Well, that was my biggest criticism of the sequels, is that I don't give a shit about programs.
Yeah.
They don't do anything for me. I don't care about them. They're just code.
Right.
They might be sentient, but they're just code.
That's the hard part with the whole premise of the movie at times. When you're inside the Matrix and things are happening for the bots and things like that, you're like, are we supposed to care?
Agent Smith, he's menacing. He's there to destroy you. And so he's great. Like, I like that character.
Yeah.
But it's not like I have any empathy for him.
Yeah.
He's there to destroy.
And that's our hard part, too, with like buildings being destroyed and things along those lines. You lose a ton of impact because it's all fake.
Right.
When they get to the end, they force Trinity to make the decision as to whether or not she wants to stay in her comfortable goo pod or come out and face the real hard, cold world.
If that's supposed to be some sort of reality, and supposedly she had this in a dream, be like, you're meeting a guy for coffee and there's 100 police officers lining a corridor. You're like walking to them to get this guy to get a coffee. If that was supposed to be some sort of reality, we'd be like, okay, what's with the SWAT team surrounding us as we're having a cup of coffee? It's so bizarre.
That's one of the perfect examples of where I think a combination of the film style and also the geography decisions in the first trilogy versus this one make a big difference, because this movie feels very claustrophobic in terms of how they put all the people into the spaces, you know, with the fighting and all that. Again, I wasn't a huge fan of the original two sequels, but the scene where Neo goes and has the showdown on the staircase as a fight scene is a really fun fight scene to watch, but it's also because you give characters the space to operate, right? So you actually can see them fighting. This is just people on top of people, and you're crushed in there, and it feels claustrophobic, and it doesn't allow for anything that's truly interesting from a fighting standpoint to occur. It just doesn't happen because everyone's kind of jammed in there. And it's all there so that she can have her "my name is Trinity" moment. I'll give the movie one positive, which is walking out, there's a moment where they ask Neo if he can fly, and he attempts to do the flight thing, and that's a good moment. That I enjoyed. That was pretty funny. He just jumps off the ground. It's like, that's not happening.
That was kind of funny.
One thing that is also bizarre, though, is so Neo's Matrix powers have morphed into, I can create a shield. That's what he can do. And sometimes he can create a shield and push. That's what his whole Matrix ability has been dumbed down to for this movie. It's not compelling. It's not exciting, because if the entire time his character is putting up the shield and things are bouncing off, I mean, it's just not compelling.
Yeah, and I never thought him flying was that big of a deal from the first one. The jump seemed cool. I know they ended the first one with it, but it just, that wasn't the cool part of it. And so like when they do it and like Trinity flies in this one, it's like, oh.
Yeah, I mean, I recall enjoying the superhero fight scene, which is basically what it was at the end of the original third film. Colin, you just watched the sequel, so I don't know if it holds up or not, but that part I do enjoy, or I remember enjoying.
I just want to know why, when the guy asks him, can you fly? Well, what if he can? How's that going to save the rest of you?
Everybody grab my legs.
And also those scenes too, like how come they couldn't find a single door? They're going through all of San Francisco and can't find a door or a mirror.
I do think it becomes a zombie movie at this point for about 10 or 12 minutes.
Oh, for sure.
The lighting, it's super dark, the way that it's filmed. You have the forms moving down the street as if they're zombies. You have the scene of them actually being, or, you know, a couple characters who you don't care about are in a car and they get rescued by a couple other characters you don't care about. It doesn't need to be a zombie movie. The other thing that I think is really interesting is there is one scene where I swear they walk into the Continental Hotel from John Wick. When they walk into that one hotel, it looks exactly like the Continental Hotel. And I don't know if that's a, if that was done purposefully, if that was kind of a...
What hotel?
The Continental Hotel in...
No. What hotel did they walk into?
There's a scene where they walk into the lobby of a building at the end.
When they're going up to the roof at the elevators or...
It started to fade at my interest level, so I'm not quite sure, but I just remember the visual of the lobby area.
Send me a screenshot, but I don't think so. Yeah.
I just remember, I was just thinking like, oh, they're going to Alameda now. Oh, they're coming back. Oh, they're downtown. Oh, that's California Avenue. Oh, I wonder if they'll show the hill. Oh, there's Montgomery Street. Oh, okay, cool.
That's the building I used to work in.
That was more of my interest in the whole movie than anything else actually happening on screen. So like, oh.
Yeah.
And then, you know, at the end, they're attacked by helicopters. And again, Marcus referenced this, but the gratuitous attempt to replicate the falling shells scene from what was the first Matrix in a really cool shot is just, that's ultimate pandering at that point. It doesn't even look as good, by the way, as the original helicopter bullet shot.
And the funny thing is, too, is who's going to appreciate that or not? Got to know who you're pandering to. And there's a bunch I was reading in the notes and the trivia about all these hidden things of names and all things from their different movies. Why are you even bothering with some of this stuff?
Why are you hiding it? Nothing else is hidden. It's right. Like blatant. It's right in your face.
It seems like their attention is focused on like recreating a whole bunch of other things versus like trying to tell a new story or tell a story at all or have a point. It's like, oh, let's put in the shot of the bullets falling. How can we do that? Oh, we get helicopter. It seems like their focus is all on trying to stuff in all these references and not make an interesting story.
Honestly, the shocking thing, too, is the budget for this film was $190 million.
Yeah, the first one was, what, like $60 million?
I assume that Keanu got paid. That's what, if you're looking at a budget on, you know, for that level.
Keanu and Carrie Ann Moss. If you didn't have them, you wouldn't have a movie.
Hopefully, they did well out of this. At the end, there's helicopters and missiles getting deflected, and then they decide to commit suicide, I think.
Or maybe it's just a leap of faith. I don't know.
So they leap off the building, and then all of a sudden, Trinity can fly, and then they're flying together, and then they go beat up the analyst, and the movie ends. So.
The stunt at the end where they jump off the building, I'd seen them actually do that stunt when it was done and filmed in San Francisco at the time. A bunch of people put it up on Twitter, right? So you could actually see them doing that, and they did it like, I don't know, 15, 20 times they did that stunt.
Yeah.
So I was expecting like something pretty great. It was the exact same thing like on film that I saw in these videos, Keanu like hanging there. And I was not expecting that. And what I realized is that it looks just really clunky. Like you don't see the wires or anything, but and the wires might as well be there. It's really kind of odd that she's just like suspended in midair and he's like hanging from her hand. It looked odd. I was expecting more.
The other thing that I think is interesting is all of the shots of Keanu on the ledge. So in particular, the one where Bugs sees him and is looking up at Keanu, and all of a sudden, and there's the colored sky behind him, and all of a sudden, it's a perfume commercial. The look on Keanu's face is, fuck, why am I making this movie? That's the energy that's coming across. That visual where Bugs looks up at him, it's very jarring to me when you see it, because it just seems like it's out of a commercial or something. I don't know, it's strange.
Yeah, there's so much of that, those flashbacks and other things that happen. You just like, did that even happen? Did he? Because Buzzy walks off the ledge then at some point, and then it reboots or what even happens in the movie? They don't even explain it.
I'm not even sure what happened.
Yeah, that's like what I'm
when
saying.
He walked off the ledge. Because apparently he did.
Do it.
Supposedly he did
walk
off the ledge. Does that mean that he did die or?
No, he floated. Bugs said he floated down? What woke her up originally?
Yeah.
She saw him take the step off the building and then just stand in midair. That's what happened.
But then in his life, how does that translate as a suicide attempt if you didn't fall? Was that all made up?
Well, and then how does the analyst, for example, just randomly zap him back into his office in the middle of a office battle, right?
Yeah.
Well, that's the thing. I mean, it's the analyst is manipulating all of this. So it's like, oh, he kills himself. No, he's okay. Back to he's gaslighting him.
He can just reset anything or whatever.
The analyst is just resetting and gaslighting him. Okay. So yeah. I get it. But things I don't get. When she saw him as the bald-headed Neo from his pod.
This also
and then he looks at her, and then he looks like the like Thomas Anderson. Some of that, I just don't understand.
Yeah, the reflections in their older selves and the all that stuff. The
reflections, yeah. Right. They're like so brief that the first time I watched it, I was like, wait, who is that? What was that?
Yeah.
Like, I missed it.
Which is interesting in a certain degree, but it's also, they don't really explain why. Like, so everyone else supposedly sees him as the old guy, but then he's not in his mind?
Right.
No, I think I understand it.
Okay.
You can explain it by explaining that this movie blows.
Right, so even she looks different, right? Because you see her reflection for a split second in the table.
Yeah, she's like a blonde or something.
So I assume that's so that can't find her. But and yet, she looks exactly like Trinity to him.
Yeah.
Right.
That's the only person who matters.
And it was talking about the Jude character trying to be responsible for getting them together, to get them close, so you'll generate some additional energy out of the Matrix, because it creates apparently a wave of emotion that sweeps across the entire Matrix when the two of them are together.
So dumb.
There are different versions of them that have been created over the 60-year period, and Jude keeps trying to make sure that they're at least peripherally bumping into each other, because that'll generate some more energy for the Matrix. It's fucking hot garbage. It doesn't really matter. It's oh, God damn, this movie frustrates me.
Hot garbage.
It's a good summary.
They're superheroes at the end, and then I guess Warner Brothers can decide if they want to make a sequel, which, based on the box office so far for this
one, I'm guessing no.
I have no trivia or any other interesting facts that I would like to talk about this movie. You guys want to say anything else, or you want to jump to the wrap?
I have nothing else.
I'm looking through my notes, and I think we touched on all the points. Yeah.
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 So I guess I'll start. I mean, again, what you're hearing is really just frustration, honestly. As a film, and if it existed in its own, you know, weird universe, and there was no Matrix that came before it, there would be some interesting visuals here, some, you know, a couple of interesting performances, at least with Neil Patrick Harris. I liked watching him. But as a sequel to The Matrix, I think it's a total and complete failure. And it's a total wasted opportunity, which is why this movie frustrates me. Because if you take the time to successfully get Carrie Ann Moss and Keanu Reeves back together and allow them to potentially, was it, re-inhabit these characters that were pretty cool back in the day and, you know, and straight up iconic, right? If you talk about some of the visuals and the imagery of The Matrix, and the fact that The Matrix is such a great movie. And you know what I'm really realizing now as I'm saying this is, having not watched The Matrix for at least 10 years before we just rewatched it and being so impressed with that movie and like, wow, that's just, it was great to go back and see it again. You know, I actually realized I got excited about seeing this as a sequel because I thought that maybe they took a look at what didn't work in the sequels and they were going to take some sort of corrective action. And it went the total opposite direction. This is just, it's gobbledygook mythology. It's a bunch of secondary characters you don't give a shit about. It's a Disney movie with flying robot bird things. And the fighting, so the stuff that you would really hope to get out of The Matrix in terms of the, you know, some of the cool visuals and the great combat, none of that works here. And then again, why the fuck does it need to be a zombie movie for the last 15 minutes? I find this movie highly irritating. I will never watch it again, and I'm going to give it a D- just because Keanu Reeves and Carrie Ann Moss are in it together, and I like seeing them.
Yeah, I would agree with you. I was actually looking forward to it after watching the first Matrix recently again, and I actually had some high hopes for it. I hadn't watched the other sequels, and I thought the same thing. I thought they were going to kind of correct some of the mistakes they made with that, make it not necessarily simpler, don't have that as much mythology, and they just kept pouring it on. That's the issue that happened in the second and the third. Yeah, the architecting, all these other kind of grander, like, oh, it's looping and it's doing this and it's doing that, trying to build it even richer and more complex. And that just makes it complete. Yeah, like you said, it's garbage.
It just goes further and further up its own ass.
Yeah, it just gets getting, like, it's not even, like, confusing and, like, you're really twisting my mind and this is so interesting. It just gets, okay, you're just making shit up now and it's not interesting. Like, now it just seems like total, I can't even, like, explain it, just so bad. But also, like, what really frustrated me the most was just the kind of the fan service, the pandering, all the self-referential discussions about the Matrix, the game, and they're making a sequel to the game, the Matrix, all those meta discussions and all that stuff was just so, so horrible and just felt like so just off-putting. I would have turned it off right there if we weren't doing this podcast. I was like, okay, this is the worst. This is just terrible. I don't even care about these people or this movie enough to continue this. So yeah, Keanu was fine. Carrie Ann Moss was fine. They were given not much to work with. And I'll give it a D, but definitely don't watch it. A D for don't watch.
You know what's funny about that, by the way, in terms of saying not caring? So I did watch it with Jessamy, my wife, and with about 25 minutes to go, like right when Trinity was supposed to be making the big decision, she's like, I'm going to bed. She's got him and went to bed.
Yeah, I would have turned it off earlier if we weren't doing this.
Colin.
I'm going to give it a B plus. I learned that reboots generally do not work. My experience with this was I heard they were doing another Matrix sequel, and I thought, why? The last two were not very good. It's like 20 years later, why are you doing this again? And then I saw the trailer, and I immediately thought, hey, that looks pretty good. I'm a little excited,
right.
But it does seem like I've just watched The Matrix again.
Right.
And so when it came out, I was kind of excited. I was looking forward to watching it. And when I did watch it, I texted you guys as I was watching it. I didn't really know what to think. I was very confused. I thought I kind of liked it. I had a little time to marinate on it. And then I watched it again. And goddamn, it was a struggle. And for all the reasons why you guys just articulated. And I guess my question is why? Why spend all this time and effort and money on something like this? Like, this should never have gotten past script development. This should never have been greenlit. This is a problem in Hollywood, all these reboots.
You know what's funny? This made me actually appreciate the Marvel movies even more, though. I'm not like a huge fan. You can see they actually have a plan. The at least the Avengers arc had like, okay, yeah, went across 20 movies and a lot of it felt similar. But at least they continued development. They made them all interesting. It ended up being very repetitive to a certain degree. They were at least unique and they continued the arc and they continued the character development. Whereas this one just, I think it's the pandering that's really made this one suffer. Whereas the Marvel ones are actually kind of new, right? It's like a new story and they're adding to it. They're not just rehashing stuff.
Yeah, I think this movie is so frustrating because it seems like that there is a real rich opportunity to take this somewhere. The concept of the Matrix and, you know, having something that you could do in that world if you wanted to. If this really was $190 million, the result of spending $190 million and getting this out of it is crazy to me. If you asked me what the budget for this movie was, I would have probably said $50 or $60 million. That would have been my guess. Not counting whatever, you know, actor salaries and all that, just in terms of the money spent on the production itself. The Matrix, by comparison, the original feels much more grand and open and, you know, fascinating and just engaging. And this just is a gobbledygook with a bunch of shit being people running around on the screen saying a bunch of, you know, exomorphic blah, blah, blah Matrix. And, you know, you rebooted my modal and fuck, it's just God damn, this movie sucks. It's frustrating.
I said it before and I will say it again. I did not need any sequels to The Matrix. The Matrix as itself, the movie, the original movie, was darn near perfect. Why'd you have to go foul it up with these stupid sequels?
Maybe we should just close there.
We can open with that too and just like have a 30 second podcast.
Not a strong recommendation, I think, coming from any of us to see this movie.
I think it just goes to show, if you don't have this story from the beginning, it's really hard to just add on and like make stuff up. The Star Wars, the whatever, 7, 8, 9 or whatever they are, they suffer the same reason. They didn't have a plan for those three movies, the most recent ones. You feel it. Those are grand movies. Those are much, much better. Those are more expertly done and made. But they suffer from not having a clear plot and a clear plan. And that's where Marvel does have. We'll draw it out in this whole Infinity Stone and this 20. I don't know how much they made that before. They just kind of had good writers and they were able to extract it into this nice timeline. And they're able to build on it. But that's where this one suffers. They had no plan at all. I don't think they really wanted to make another movie. They just wanted to make more money. Whoever they are, either it's the Wachowskis or it's the Warner Brothers, or
it's gotta be Warner Brothers just trying to, you know, dip a toe and say, hey, can we get some more cash out of this IP?
It's just really too bad.
Specifically them looking at the John Wick trilogy or the John Wick property and saying, wow, we still got some legs here if we want to try and milk more of the Keanu money out of people.
Yeah.
And then there's of course the nostalgia angle, I'm done talking about this movie.
Look, the fact that they're like, hey, we want to do a sequel. Okay, great. Our stars are dead. Their characters are dead. How do we overcome that hurdle? Well, we're going to have to bring them back from the dead somehow. Okay, that's what the movie's about.
Somebody is already thinking about a new trilogy here. That has to be considered. My guess is that's not going anywhere.
Yeah, I think this is going to bury their franchise.
Yeah, I'm done. I don't want to talk about this movie anymore. Anything else
to say? The Matrix had two things going for it. Actually, three. One, it had an amazing reveal when you found out what the Matrix was.
Yeah,
right.
Two, it had the whole Messiah, the One storyline, going through your journey to find out that you are actually the One. And three, it had amazing fight work and special effects.
Yeah.
And that's what made it great. And then when they decided to do the sequels, they had to like create more of that world. And everything that they leaned into was just dreck. More of the same. It lost all of its power and imagination, even though they're highly rated on IMDb. They're okay movies, but they just didn't have the magic.
No, they didn't have the magic, but at least they looked really interesting.
Yes, they did. Yeah.
That's even a difference between those two films and this film, is those films are actually shot in a way that it's very engaging and interesting. Yeah. You know, at least I recall that being the case.
They shot them in the same way.
Yeah. Right.
So, but
they worked with the same crews.
It lacked a little luster because you'd seen all of this before.
Yeah.
And it wasn't as revolutionary. Yeah. That's why The Matrix itself is such a great movie.
Yeah.
This, I don't know, it's like they just decided to lean into the least interesting aspects and then play to reboot fan service bullshit, and this is what you end up with. I would like to say that if you like The Matrix and you watched the sequels, I would say, go ahead and watch this movie. At least watch it once.
Okay.
You'll find it to be interesting. I'm not going to say you're going to like it, but at least watch it just to see. But I guarantee you'll never want to watch it again.
All right. Here's the ultimate question. Would you rather watch Natural Born Killers or Matrix Resurrections?
Natural Born Killers.
There you go.
I have to say Natural Born Killers.
I rest my case.
And that's only for the Wayne Gale moments. That's the
only one that pulls. Wayne Gale.
Wayne Gale.
Live interview with Wayne Gale.
All right, let's stop talking about this, okay? Can we be done?
We are done.
Yes.
Okay, well, hope you enjoyed our highly complimentary review of The Matrix Resurrections. We all recommend you sit down and watch this several times over. Nah, just skip it. Even if you're... Actually, you know what? Just instead of watching this movie, just go back and watch The Matrix, the original Matrix, again.
Or watch a John Wick movie.
Or go watch a John Wick movie. This is definitely the worst movie that I will have seen in the calendar year 2022. That's my takeaway.
For sure. Day three. I was going to say, the interesting thing too, the reason why John Wick works is because you end up with a very... It's like why any Dirty Harry movie would work. It's not complex, right? You just have, okay, there's a new guy to kill. Or the Dirty Harry, there's a new bad guy to catch or whatever it might be.
Batman, there's a new villain in town. Yeah. Right. His name is Mr. Freeze.
That's where this one fails. You can't just bring in the scale of it doesn't work. Anyways, we're done.
We're done. All right, well, I'll just in a very sad and exhausted way, I'll be basically, I'll take my Thomas Anderson energy and say, this is the Real DMC Podcast, signing off. Goodbye, everybody. Goodbye.
Goodbye, everybody. Goodbye.
I'm taking the blue pill.
Goodbye.
Goodbye. Yeah, if the blue pill actually prevents me from seeing this movie, I'll take the blue pill. I love the dialogue that they force Keanu to deliver, right? Because he turns and asks Bugs, are you the one who hacked my modal? One second.
That's all right. I had a printer go off earlier, so that's going to be a bit of a background noise.
Yeah, boy.
Yeah.
I did not.
Dude, for the sake of the Real DMC Podcast,
cancel
your phone. Get rid of your landline.
Yes, I will. Okay. I'm probably thinking that it was a no.
Call from the Bay Paris.
Hey, how you doing? Good. I'm in the middle of a podcast. Can I call you back in a couple seconds? We're almost done. Okay. I'll call you back in a second. Bye. Yeah, get rid of the landline. Got it. Although that was my wife. So.
Podcasting gold.
Yep. Well, I mean, trust me. I mean, that's on par with the movie we just watched. So that's the level of quality we need to deliver here today.
That's more interesting. I'm more interested in what you might say on the phone than I did what Keanu might say on screen.